it's a miraculous thing that God would even send his son to earth to save a people that had spit in his face, in his son's face. When I think about that, the brother Jesus Christ, does it become so, do we become so familiar with it that it loses its majesty? Is it that we've heard so much that, well, we know what's coming next, we know this, that, and other. But we need to be careful. We need to be careful next time. And I've been trying to study the last month about Christmas, what it's all about. I begin to see things that I've never seen before because, you know, the nation didn't ever need to ride into Bethlehem on a donkey. Well, I'm not saying she did. But yet we assume that she did. There's other things, but one thing I want to know that's reality this morning is that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Believeth in existing conditions. Where does that come from? The Bible tells us that's the gift of God. So this morning, if we think about that, Martin Luther years ago wrote a song, Away in a Manger, in a Crib for a Bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. The cow were lowing, and you know the rest of the story. This morning I want to not only preach on not a way in the manger, but the way in the manger. A way in the manger, no, it's the way in a manger that was born in Bethlehem. When I look at this and thought about this this morning, the way in the manger, there's only one way that we'll ever reach the portal of heaven, brothers and sisters, and that's by the grace of God. It'll not be our works. It'll not be what we've done. It'll be all because of what God has done through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And the Bible is very plain about that. Jesus said, I am the way and the life. He is the way, the way to heaven. And we are a people that have been blessed that we have the knowledge and the belief that Jesus Christ is the Lord, that he is our Savior. We are blessed. When we go back and look at it and think about it just for a moment, when God created man and woman, he had fellowship with them. He walked with them in the Garden of Eden. And there was no breach in fellowship until mankind sinned, Adam sinned. God had gave mankind one prohibition, as he had put them in paradise, you might say, in the Garden of Eden. And God had said, enjoy it. I'm paraphrasing that now. Enjoy it. He gave Adam the responsibility of naming the animals that were created. He said, you are still in the garden, but there's one thing, Adam. You will not eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil that's in the midst of the garden, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. One thing, all the thing that God had prohibited Adam to do was eat of that fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So he said, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die, and then sin entered in. The serpent came and beguiled Eve, and Eve ate, and she gave to Adam, and he ate. And on that day, when that first bite, I think, was taken of that fruit, whatever it was, then man and God, he died a separation. Not in that life, Adam lived a long time naturally. But there was a breach in the fellowship with God himself. There's a separation. What is death? Death is a separation. One day, natural death is going to take this body. There'll be a separation from this life and this earth. My spirit is going to be with the Lord. My body will be put in the bed over there the way we got sand. But what happened? The Bible begins to tell us that in Adam we all die. Because there was a separation from the fellowship of God and Adam. They saw that they were naked. That was the knowledge. They saw that they were naked without clothing, without covering. And so they began to take fig leaves and try to stitch them together and cover their nakedness. And God came to the garden as he did normally so many times, and there's no Adam and there's no Eve. And he called out, Adam, where art thou? And the Bible says that Adam and Eve was hiding in the midst of the trees in the garden. See that? They've done separation. Up until this time, and I'm not sure how long it was, the Bible does not tell us that. But when they sinned, that breach of fellowship was broken. And my Bible tells me that that separation took place. And so God, they hid from God. And without the Holy Spirit, without the new birth, without the born again of the Spirit of God, we still are in our natural state. We run from God. We hide from God. And we have a hatred for God. We say, I never had that. Well, thank God that you didn't. But here's the gift for grace, I think, cuts in. God came to them in the midst of the garden and said, Adam, where art thou? He said, Adam, you sinned. He said, oh, that woman did it. That woman did it. It was not a blame on everybody else. But who sinned? Adam sinned. Where the prohibition given? It was given to Adam. And he was really responsible, I think, before Eve, because he changed and took and eat of that fruit. And he died. The spiritual part of Adam died, and he had no regard for the things of God. The Bible tells me that it came, that man and Adam, we all died, we were dead in sin and trespasses. And the Bible talks about a great gulf. There's a great gulf that was created that man himself was not able to cross. Because he could not go to it. In fact, he had no desire to go to it. But we find that as God comes to them, he finds them in the midst of the garden, naked, so to speak, and grace appears. To the God, I threw this coat of animals. Now, you know, when you take a coat of an animal, you skin them. But you threw that, and I believe this is the first time we see blood, as they call that. Well, the end for life is in the blood, and as those animals were skinned, God skinned them. There was blood there, but he couldn't go choke the skin and clothes. He covered their necks. I believe that's where we see the beginning of grace. God's grace covered their necks that resulted as a result of their sins. And we are good as the blood of Adam. There's no doubt about that. But we are about the blood. And then he banished them from the Garden of Eden. And they might preserve the way of the tree of life. And they were banished. And he put a cherubim at the mouth of the gate of the Garden of Eden, so they could not go in and enter into the partake of the tree of life. And so they left it up to the point that that was a breach. That was a breach. And you go back and you study the Bible, you look at Romans, it talks about how that we were wicked, we were without compassion, we were just horrible, really. But we were in a deplorable condition. If God's grace had not extended until today, brothers and sisters, we would all still be condemned to a devil's hell forever in eternity. But here's where we see you in that deplorable condition. God was generous. But all the mankind was so wicked. Later on, in the days of Noah, that God had come to the point he was ready to destroy the whole universe. But Noah found grace. Again, grace shows up, I think. Noah found grace, and now God and mankind was spared to Adam. And for those who know him. Yet our nature was one of wickedness. Today, if we took away the influence of God in this world, it would be the most wicked, perverse thing we'd ever known. And the Bible tells us that. If you were studying, the Bible says that we were depraved, that we are in a state of depravity, and we are altogether wicked without the influence of God. Now, you don't want to hear that. Many times, there's not that you hear that he's wicked, and he's a sinner, and he's beyond help, unless God intervenes and cares what God did. God began to intervene. Romans chapter 3 and verse 11, it says, there's none that thinketh that God, there's none that doeth good, there's none righteous, none at all one. So that's where we were in that kind of thing. But our righteousness, in the book of Isaiah says that our righteousness is that filthy rag. There's nothing there for our benefit, nothing that would be of help to us. And it says there's none that doeth good. No, not one. Psalm 53, verse 3, Romans 3:12 tells us that. We're all unclean. And brothers and sisters, we ever needed a Savior. God saw that. He gave us a Savior. I don't like hearing that. It doesn't do me and my ego any good that I was in that kind of a horrible situation and I can't remember ever having an hatred for God. And I just believe it because God had loved me even before time began. And I found out that He did. Before the foundation of the world, He chose the people to be His people, and He was gracious to us. And He gave the man the law, and just as others could not keep the one law that God had given him, He gave us the moral law, He gave us the dietary law, He gave us the laws, all those things pertaining to the goodness of man and to the welfare of man. So we couldn't keep that. We couldn't keep that. We had, in mankind, we'd all say, oh yeah, we can do that. But without God, we cannot do those good because there's nothing good about us. He gave us the ceremonial law. You know, there was a temporary atonement for Israel to somewhat keep a relationship because God did deal with us. But when it comes down to at the end of the time of the Jewish dispensation, God, there was a tabernacle that was given, and then there was a temple that was given. But it was the Gentiles were only allowed, and we're Gentiles. We can only go into that outer court. We cannot go into the inner sanctum. We cannot be a part of worship of God. Jewish men, Jewish women were a little closer, and Jewish men that were not sick or deformed, they were still closer. The Levites, certain people, were not allowed to go into that thing, into the literally the Holy of Holies. And we were literally left out. We were left in our sin. But God, that's a pretty word in Ephesians, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love for His people, He gave us a way in the manger, the way in the manger, Jesus Christ. God made a way. Prophets foretold us about this preparation. Made a time of, at the time that Adam sinned and we died in sin and trespasses, God made a way. He said that the time would come that the head of the serpent would be bruised and the heel of the seed of the woman, the heel would be bruised, but the Satan's head would be bruised. A fatal blow was coming. And one day Satan will be out of the picture altogether. Thank God for that. But when we think about that, God began to tell us that there was a Savior, there was a Messiah that was coming. And I read this morning where it says, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son that shall call his name Emmanuel. God with us is what he's saying. And then in chapter 9 he says, and he foretold the virgin birth, but it says his name would be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, that his kingdom would be forever. In Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 16, Isaiah said there'd be one that would bring the blind in a way they knew not. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 40, it says, he shall not fail, he shall not be discouraged. And we see that. Then in the book of Micah chapter 5 and verses 1 through 4, he told us that where the babe would be born in Bethlehem, in Judea, that he'd be born there, that that would take place in this day. And there was a way to God. There's a way to God, and that way was Jesus Christ. The way to God, when God coming to us, that's where He was. In verse 7, as I read, to read now. I haven't read this, but turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 2, if you will. Christmas story. Says, look at these much preaching in these. Much. And I want to begin reading to verse 1, and I want to probably read this to verse 11, or verse 12. And it came to pass. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Find it if you got your Bible. I'd encourage you to look at this. There's much truth in part of what it says. Here's our hope. Here's our salvation. It's coming to fruition. For all the promises of God in the Old Testament are coming to fulfillment. Now, as far as the one coming, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Paraclete is coming to be a part of our life. And it came to pass when in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went out from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary's espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There were the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. See, that's the message of Christmas. That's the fear. Fear not is the message of our hope, our redemption, that is coming not to fear those things that are ahead, but even in this day. Because you look at the Bible and see how many times it says, fear not. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel of the multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. We saw that before the shepherds got the word. But you see here in verse 7, she brought forth her firstborn son. That's one that the angel had told Joseph. It says, for she shall bring forth the son, I shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Yes, he was coming, and now he's here. In verse 7, and the babe Jesus was the first visible sign that God was doing all that he had promised. Yes, the promises of God are sure and steadfast. I want you to know that this morning. Every promise that God has ever made to us as his people is it's sure and steadfast. He has the power to take care of everything that he's promised. The dominion of Satan and sin was on the way to being destroyed. Not yet, but it's coming today that will be destroyed. And the girl that separated was being crossed with this baby. I think about that so often. It was the way of salvation. We cannot deliver ourselves. The Bible says that we are not able by doing good works. You know, the Bible says it's not of anything that we've done, but by the goodness of God himself. And because if you look at Ephesians chapter 2, Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus, this far by grace are you saved through faith, and not that not yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, just any man should boast. You know, somebody says, well, you know, all we got to do is extension. Well, you know, if I understand it right, if I make a decision, I'll expend some energy. That would be a work. But we accept him because we've been given life that we can see him. And he says, blessed are those. Blessed. He makes us exception. In the new birth, he makes us exception. When we look at that thing, it was the way of salvation. Jesus Christ through him, that babe in the manger. Today, we know the world loves that babe in the manger. But did you know most of the world today hates that Savior on the cross? We like Christmas because we see the babe, which is a sweet thing, but yet we see the horror of our sins that's being paid on the cross of Calvary. When that babe grows to adulthood, 33 and a half years old, to understand his life, and he hung on that cross, he was born to die because he was the way of salvation. And by his blood, we were cleansed. We cannot deliver ourselves. The Bible's clear about that. It's not a work that's in man's boat. And we find in the book of Galatians, Paul says, it's not because of sin, it's something we did, but it's all by the grace of God. On the cross of Calvary, that baby that was in that little manger in Bethlehem became our Savior, our Redeemer, our way, the way of salvation being delivered. Our sin debt was paid. Yes, we had a sin debt because we were the blood of Adam, and we were just as responsible as Adam was. If we'd done it, that cross when he was crucified, we'd have thought they'd crucify him. But here again, grace is there. The ransom was paid. Sins were put away. The Bible says that when we're born again in the Spirit of God, that our sins are put away from us as far as the east is from the west. And we find that you have started east, you'll never be going west. My brother and sisters also said that our sins would be as they were put in the very depths of the sea. find a sand right in the depth of the oceans. I've never been discovered how deep the ocean is. He says, all of them that will be put behind his back be remembered no more. At Calvary, when he said, it is finished, it was finished. This man was done. The battle fellowship was destroyed. I mean, we had access. We have one today that we can go to the very throne room of heaven itself. And he says, that whatever you shall ask in my name, the Father will hear. So through Jesus, we can come boldly through the throne of grace. We can come boldly before the throne of God because he's seated at the right hand of God, the Father, making intercession for us. And you've heard me say this many times from the very pulpit that I believe when we say, our Father, which art in heaven, I picture this, our intercessor, our Savior, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, probably shows that God, this is one of mine. This is the one you gave to me. This is the one that I died to redeem. He's yours. Listen to it. I believe it's good like that. We don't have to fear to come and make our petitions known to God. We can come to Him for everything that follows us, and I'm thankful for that. We do have an intercessor. He's given us a way to the abundant life. Jesus said this, the thief which is Satan cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I've come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. Brothers and sisters, when we walk in fellowship with the Lord, we go hand in hand with it. That abundant life is so great that we do not understand fully. The abundancy of abundance. Let me say that again. We do not fully understand the abundancy of the abundant life. But when we walk with Him like we should, why? Because we have been reconciled to God. We've been reconciled. We've been saved. Our redemption is done in Christ Jesus. It's the way to heaven. The way to heaven. No other way. Being justified by the blood of that day in the Son of God that grew into manhood, taught us forgiveness, taught us grace, taught us mercy, and taught us love for one another. Taught us to be kind and generous and forgiving. That babe grew to be a man. He called to accuse. He gave his life on Calvary Street and set us free from the bondage of sin and made us fit for the presence of God the Father. We are a blood-bought people. I want you to know that this morning. The price of your redemption is the blood of Jesus Christ. Save from our sin. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12, I want to read that to you. Listen, what it says, by His own blood. Hebrews chapter 9. Now I want to read verses, let me read verses 11, 12, and 13, and 14. For Christ, being come and high priest of good things come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is saying, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I'm going to stop there, not be through that. Did you notice we are blood-bought people? It says, but by Him, isn't it? But by His own blood, He entered into once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Who's the us? His people. His people. In the manger, that day in the manger was not only a way, but He was the only the way. The way of Jesus Christ. John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. There's no other way. It's by Him coming to you, redeeming you. You must be born. You must be born to see the kingdom. You must be born again to enter the kingdom. You must be born. You must be bought. You must be paid for. Your sin debt must be paid. And it's not by words that you've done. It's not the words that Edward McIntyre has done for you on your behalf, preaching the word. It's because he is going to you. And he's touched you and give you that. It's not by riches, there's no way you can be a beggar. There's not enough money in the world to buy even one person of redemption. It's only by the blood of Christ. It's not by food. It's not by Mount Holland. It's not by secret orders. It's not by yourself. It's all because of Jesus Christ. But only through Jesus Christ and his blood, he has accomplished all that the angel told Joseph, he shall save his people from their sins. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. That babe in the manger is the way. He is the only way, and there's no other way. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, I want to read verse 9. Who has saved us and called us the holy calling, not according to our works. See, I tell you what good one called the works. But it's by who has saved us, and he's talking about Jesus Christ, and called us with a holy calling, set you apart, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Yes, we were a chosen people. But it shows the truth of the promise of God to redeem his people through the blood of Jesus Christ. At Bethlehem, it became manifest that Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, was the answer to the promises that were made in the Old Testament. He has saved his people. And this morning I want to tell you, we should be thankful for him. The Bible says we are his workmanship. Yes, we are. Why are we in his workmanship? Because he has saved us. He's made us a new person. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 or 15, I believe it is, verse 27. I'm not sure what it says. It says, there being one being Christ, behold, he is a new creature. Behold, old things have passed away and all things have become new. There's a newness in Jesus Christ this morning. That babe in the manger at Bethlehem. Our salvation. The promise of God fulfilled of the Redeemer for his people. Yes, he was born in a lowly birth. Lowly birth. Put in the manger, not a cradle, not a crib, not a baby bed, but in an animal stall laid in the manger. Because there's no room for him in the inn. There's still not a whole lot of room in the world today for Jesus Christ. I want to tell you that. But there's room in our hearts. And he comes in and he dwells there. And as he dwells there, it's because he has paid us and made us fit for heaven itself. And I tell you this morning, he has saved his people. That babe in Bethlehem, from the mother named Mary and the father named God, he accomplished a great miracle. He saved us. And we're his people, his children. And we are destined to do good works, by that he might be praised. And may we, because what that day did for us, may we be a people that are not ashamed of our salvation, not ashamed of our Savior, and be more than willing to be witnesses of the grace of God in our lives. It's on an individual basis, it's not a group thing. But he loved each one of us as if we had only been one. That's marvelous. Marvelous, wonderful. Oh, how we should love Jesus. And may we do so, is my prayer this morning. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the promises that you made being fulfilled at Bethlehem on that first Christmas night. Lord, help us to love thee more and serve thee better, knowing that our redemption is accomplished. Heaven is our home through the blood of Jesus Christ. And all that your promises are sure and steadfast. And for you told us, if you told us that, then you say to us, follow me. And Father, may we follow you this day. May we walk the pathways that you have trod. May we follow thee. May we obey thee. And as he has said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And one of the things he said for us to do, Lord, is follow him. Follow him in baptism, follow him in obedience, and follow him that he may be praised. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.